Good morning to you. Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Carroll, CBS News, of WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Ruth Sandviston on The Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Dave Kaiser.
Hiya, well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard
and Jim Reed
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ennis standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Capps. For the nocturne, we send as
this is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dill here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show. And this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters.
WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raw.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hef Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Well, we're back on WPTF for the Weekend Gardener. All those folks, good gracious. I love, I get a lot of comments from people who love hearing that montage that I started putting together basically in the 1980s. But I enjoy it, too. Yeah, there's a lot of those people I knew are old friends. Many of them have passed away now, and just glad to hear them again every week. Brightens my day. And we hope that the Weekend Gardener brightens your day. Linda from Selma, thanks to our caller from Wendell, Rick, we should have thought of it, but I'm sure that's got to be what she's thinking of as a tulip poplar.
Yeah.
Monica, good morning to you. Miss Monica?
Good morning.
Hey. We had a caller from Selma who was asking us about a tree. She's getting ants crawling up the trunk. She didn't say how big it was.
Yeah,
I
didn't know.
And I guess I just didn't listen well enough. But she said they were greenish-yellow flowers. And the only thing, Rick said tulip poplar, and by golly, that might be it. Yeah. Of course, that's the cat face tree. The leaves are kind of shaped like a cat's face. But the ants, or maybe after aphids or something, but big tree is probably not that big a deal.
No.
I mean, that
could be anything.
They're dropping leaves because of the heat.
The heat, yeah.
And they're probably one of the first that's affected.
They are, yeah.
By that situation.
Yeah.
I know the maple trees are being affected too. They're starting to Some of them are starting to get their fall color.
The sycamores drop theirs pretty early, too.
Sycamores are... I love the bark. I love the trunk bark, but they do have their problems. You know, all of the problems that we're having, your trees are having, the cars may, and trucks and SUVs may be having some too, most likely, and you want to prevent that, just like you need to go to the doctor to get a checkup. You need to go to a great mechanic to get a checkup on your car to prevent some of the problems that you might face. You need to check the tires, the brakes, the air conditioning system. For goodness sake, it's going to be hot for a while. You need to check a lot of different things on your vehicle. They know what to check. So let the folks at King's Auto Service on West Street in Raleigh check it all out. They have a lot of experience. The cabin air filters, the filters, there are a bunch of filters in your car for different reasons, the belts, hoses, all of that. And get your battery checked, that 12-volt battery. By golly, it just doesn't last like it used to. Maybe 3 years. It's about the life of it's the average life of a battery now. So get that checked. They can do that. They can figure out if it's going to last very much longer now, a lot of technology. And if you have a hybrid vehicle, they can check those big old batteries, those high voltage batteries too. And it's important. That can be very costly. So make sure that you get it checked every once in a while. And they can tell you when you probably need to go in to have that checked, the intervals. And there are a lot of other things that you can get the folks at King's Auto Service in Raleigh to do. They're located at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh and at kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. Now, Miss Monica, what's going on out at the farmer's market this morning? I bet there are a lot of people.
There are. It's a beautiful morning to come out, and definitely a lot of people and a lot of produce, a lot of plants, and so many other specialty products that you can come out and buy. It's always fun to kind of watch everybody getting unloaded and getting set up as they're bringing their product in fresh every day, and then to see the scurry of folks coming out to shop around, especially on the weekends, which is always kind of a fun experience. Just the people watch sometimes as folks are on their missions every day as they're coming out, and some folks are coming just to shop, and some folks are coming to walk around and kind of spend a day.
I just got a report from Gerald Adams. Says ants are after nectar. Tulip poplars produce tons of nectar, which is why honeybees love the tulip poplar honey.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. Thank you, Brother Gerald.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I thought the bloom was over with on the tulip poplar, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, how about that?
Maybe they're still producing some nectar.
So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Linda. We told you not to worry, so I don't want you to worry down there. But you can still ask your son-in-law what kind of tree it is if you want to.
Yeah.
All right. So, Miss Monica, we've got a tropical system that may be affecting us because there's going to be a lot of rain, might be a little wind. I'm sure that the farmers are – I don't know how they feel about more rain. It's just been a tough year for farmers, hasn't it?
It has, and, we went so long and so many farmers were experiencing some pretty tough drought conditions. And depending on where they're at in the state, there's some that's had more rain, of course, than others. And so you just never know, and it just depends on what stage the crops are in and everything as far as how it really affects everything. So I've always said farming is definitely – I guess you could say one of the most legal forms of gambling you could.
I've never heard that, but that's a great
thing to say. True, it is.
They definitely are. Like I say, you never know. There's so many different factors that play into whether they have a successful crop, and from day to day it can change, and so
let's say it's the riskiest form of gambling.
You know, there's not much you can do to so many things you can't control, that's for sure.
So, but
they are definitely resilient and
the most optimistic group too, because they forget about last year and move on in the next year.
That's right. And most are innovative, and they come up with different, if there's something that they can do to try to help, you know, their crops be better, or ways to improve, or, you know, extend their seasons, they work at it hard. And that's one thing that's special about our farmers.
Some of the smartest people I know.
Yes,
very dedicated to their job. They have to be.
Thank goodness they are, because they have all of that good stuff to sell at the state farmers markets. What did you got under the farmers buildings this morning, Monica?
Well, we still have tons of peaches coming in, which is a favorite for the summer, as well as starting to see just a few of the early variety apples coming in. I saw a few galas actually popping in yesterday. And, of course, all of the tomatoes, you can imagine, all the different varieties that you can find as far as your heirlooms. And we have, just your regular slicing tomatoes that most folks like. But heirloom varieties, if you like to try something different and you haven't tried those, be sure to stop in and give them a try. The regular slicing ones, there's Romas, there's all kinds of cherry tomatoes, and even some heirloom cherry varieties that are coming in now. And they're all absolutely delicious. And we like seeing all those varieties. It just kind of, you know, gives you something different to try. And peppers are something else that there's just tons of. And from the sweetest to the hottest and all in between, you can find all the peppers here right now.
If you're making relish, that's a great thing to have.
Exactly. Relish. And folks are, you know, right now is the time to put all your, you know, get all your freezing and canning done, whether you're making salsa or preserves or jelly, jams, whatever you may be working on. It's a good time to get out and do that while we do have an abundance of product coming in, because as we just said, the weather can change some of that quickly. Sweet corn is something else that's really popular right now. Green beans, field peas, butter beans, and squash, cucumbers, all different kinds of squash, and eggplants. It's really amazing to come out and just see all the different varieties that there are, all the different colors. It's a smorgasbord, I guess you could say, of fruits and vegetables when you come and walk through the farmer's area and seeing all the different varieties that are produced now. And it's really a neat place to come and shop. A lot of local chefs like to come out here and hand select what they're maybe preparing for that meal at their restaurants on a daily basis. So it's a fun place to be.
Yeah. Rufus is talking to somebody on the porch at the motel.
Well, I have a wonderful couple here that are from Raleigh, and the one manager of town manager at Archdale, and they're very familiar with the farmer's market restaurant. And this fine lady's going to tell you how good it is.
Oh, very
awesome.
Go get them.
That farmer's market and the restaurant, probably the best in the planet Earth.
Do y'all listen to the Weekend Gardener?
She's going to become a listener.
All right. All right. Now, you've only missed 40 years.
Never too late to start.
A lot of podcasts.
Ten of those don't count. She's not been alive for 30 years.
Okay. Well, they're a bunch of, you can go to Apple Podcasts and find us, and you can listen to a bunch of earlier ones. So.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, great. I just want to introduce these great farmers market advocates.
Are they sitting on the porch smoking a cigar with you?
Well, they thought I was talking to myself.
Well, you may have been at some point.
You have to talk to people intelligent sometime, right, Rufus?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're nice to meet some folks from Raleigh.
Yeah.
All right, Monica. I see we got Marty on the board who wants to talk at some point, too. But I've been enjoying butter beans and peas and corn primarily. Let's see what else we've had. We've had a lot of different things, but that's primarily what I have been enjoying, you know, just meals of those vegetables.
Yes, it's definitely season for that. Right now we're I guess you could say, maybe going out of the peak season, July, sort of the peak season for peas and butter beans and things like that. But we still have a lot of folks, like I said, they continue to plant those crops so they can overlap them and hopefully continue, you know, to have that product available as long as they possibly can throughout right. the season up until frost. So we'll still be seeing peas and butter beans coming in for a while now, and just so many wonderful things, you know, throughout the farmers area, and still a lot of beautiful plants down there. The perennial hibiscus catch my attention every time I drive by or walk by down there. They're absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
If you don't have any of those in your landscape, there's something beautiful to add that are in bloom right now. And I have some in my yard, and I just enjoy seeing them every morning. They're just so bright and colorful, and the blooms on them are literally like dinner plate size, and so many different colors. And we also have other perennials right now that are in bloom. There's some different container plantings down there. If you're looking something just to add some color to your patio, or you need something, a replacement hanging basket, all that, we can still find those here, as well as shrubs and fruit trees, succulents, houseplants. We have a great selection of all of those. And right now through the summer, every weekend we're doing a little taste of summer pop-up. And so down at the end, beyond the plants, you're going to find a variety of specialty products, such as some different types of food products. You're going to find a lot of craft items that are homemade and locally. So be sure to shop all the way down through there to see what may pop in each week. And on up into the craft shed, we have our folks that are doing the gourmet lemonade, the handmade baskets, the gluten-free donuts. And the spice folks are there with all different varieties of spices. If you've never been by there and tried those, they have some that pair with anything you're cooking. They can fix you right up. And, of course, that's right there beside the seafood restaurant, so you can grab a meal there if seafood's what you've got on your mind. And if not, the State Farmers Market restaurant, as that lovely couple just mentioned, are definitely here doing their country cooking every day. And so many wonderful things to see and do. And can't forget the Rufus dogs, of course, at the Market Grill. So you shouldn't leave hungry when you leave the market.
No,
you come hungry, but you shouldn't be.
It'd be like Rufus's trip when he was a kid going to visit Aunt Lena and Aunt Lottie and Aunt Nell. He'd get three meals,
yeah,
plus dessert.
And at the farmer's market, you can plan your next one and take it home with you.
So. Yeah.
That's right.
So you can do the same thing at the farmer's market. If you spend enough time there, you can get several meals. Because up in the market shops, you got the Rufus dog. Mm-hmm. And I understand there's an autographed sign up there.
Yes, there is. A pretty popular sign, I'm understanding. G, who runs Little Grill there, says she's had folks that have inquired about that sign and wanted to know if they could get
it. Now, if you want your photograph taken with that sign, I'm sure that can be arranged too. I don't.
Yeah, most definitely. With a hot dog in hand, of course.
Yeah. That'd be something, a good keepsake.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. So we may have to have a photo with Rufus Day or, you know, something like that. I don't know.
That's right.
Now that sounds like something I could do.
Yes, that would be fun. We'll have to get that together.
Maybe have a hot dog for each hand day.
There you go.
Oh, man.
That's right.
Well, they got a lot of other stuff in there too, and certainly the Market Grill has some great breakfast. If you like breakfast, and you're a little more on the run, you can go by the Market Grill and get some breakfast.
Definitely. They have wonderful breakfast sandwiches, and they do some different specialty things for lunch on, you know, various days. Sometimes they'll have hibachi and a few other things. And across the way, they have those crispy pops that are made out of the rice flour that are really popular. And they're also doing a variety of different drinks with the boba teas and things like that. And just beside there, you can
find...
You got one of those slushies?
I tried this slushie last week. And it was different varieties, about four of them, and it was wonderful.
Oh, my.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they got everything over there. And 321 coffee. I saw a brand new bag of 321 coffee on the counter this week. And Melissa's been out to the farmer's market, of course. So we go out there a lot. But 321 Coffee is excellent.
Yeah, support those guys. They do such a great job and are such an asset to our community and to the market. So be sure to stop by and support them. And, of course, there's fresh seafood. There's all kinds of meats and cheeses that you can find all throughout the market, as well as jams and jellies, preserves. If you're looking for some gift items, of course, you can find lots of different gift items in there. The rocking chairs and outdoor furniture, as well as some hammocks and garden flags, the ice cream, fresh squeezed orangeades and lemonades, and the list just goes on and on. It's one of those things, if you have an experience, you have to come out and do it for yourself and just take a day to walk through and see all the different areas of the market and just have fun. Bring the family out and just make a day of it. And, of course, Superside is another one of our businesses that's here down below our farmers area, and if you're looking anything loan related, they can definitely help you out there. Your side, if you have a problem with your existing loan, they can help you hopefully figure out what may be going on with it and help you get the products you need to maintain it. And the Hunter Pork Center is another favorite, just behind our Market Depot and seafood restaurant area, and they have everything pork. You can get a whole pig, or you can just get a ham or whatever you may be looking for. They can fix you right up.
How about that?
And Micah, don't leave out the chitlins for Micah.
That's right. That's right. You can get those too. And oh, and can't forget, we have Watermelon Day coming up this Friday, August 9th. And that is going to be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to have that large watermelon weigh-in. And we're going to have free watermelon slices. The North Carolina Watermelon Queen is going to be here, and just lots of fun for the whole family. So make plans to attend this Friday, 11 to 1, for Watermelon Day.
Now, are we supposed to be out there broadcasting at some point?
We're looking at hopefully getting you guys. I believe it's the 17th is what we're looking at right
17th?
Now.
Okay.
We're still working out the kinks with that, but I think that's what we're working towards.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. I knew it was sometime in August. You've got so much going on. I don't know how you do all that you do, but we do love coming out there. So if you got time for us.
We love having you guys out here, and we'll be getting you here then, and then hopefully some more in the fall and winter. As much as we can get you here, we're going to have
you. That's right. Y'all are running out of time. We got some old people here on the show, Monica. We ain't going to last forever.
I know.
Watch your mouth.
We're not going to think about that, though. You guys are going to be here and
keep talking
about it. You've got a lot of great advice and a lot of knowledge, and I know a lot of folks love the show, and we appreciate all the listeners. We get a lot of compliments about the show, and
good
people that really appreciate.
Well, I'm glad. Well, we love the farmers market and you and all the folks. It's just a part of our life. It really is. So, and has been for as long as I can remember on this show. I mean,
it has, and we appreciate the support that you guys give us. Always wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you, and you have a wonderful day.
And you too. Come see us. We're here 7 days a week.
We shall.
Take care, Monica.
Seems like I'm always hungry. I'm always hungry. Bye. I go to the farmer's market. All right, Rufus, I hope you're not down to that butt there on the cigar. We'll be back after the news and talk to Marty and then the National Weather Service on the Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Johnny Coley, extension agent in beautiful Granville and Vance, it's close, Person County. It's always amazing to me to look at Roxborough and the temperatures and stuff, how different they are from.
It is a little cooler.
They're 300 feet higher than Durham. Above sea level. It's really
elevation. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, man. When you drive up 501, you're going uphill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're getting out of the city and you're
that's
you're
true.
Going
uphill. That's, that's true. But T.G. Brooks and all out there, we had some good, bought a good country ham from them.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You got to soak it a while. You know, those real country hams, are they got salty. Salt. They got salt. So
yeah,
you got to soak them a while before you cook them. But, yeah, that was delicious. Yeah. Marty is with us. Marty, thanks so much for waiting on the line here for so long. How can we help you? Hello, Marty? Yeah, there we go. Now we got you.
And hello?
Yeah, well, now we got you. Thank you, Marty.
Okay. You've answered this question before, but I've forgotten.
Well, we probably did, too.
Yeah. When do I cut back gardenias?
Well, you know, does it bloom more than once?
Well, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now. I don't see any blooms anywhere on it or buds anywhere on it. And, you know, it has already bloomed this year.
I think you're getting close to the end of time to, to do that.
You want to do it shortly. Usually, you know, right after they finish blooming is your safest time to do that. But, yeah, you definitely want to do it.
What usually happens is it blooms, it puts on new growth, and then new blooms come on that.
Yeah, yeah.
The new growth has come, but I don't see any buds on any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would try to trim it back as soon as you can. This time of year, if you prune something, it's got to have time to flush. And I know it's hard to believe that we've got to think about a frost at this point, but a plant's got to – you prune it, it's going to have to flush, and then it has to harden off before we get a freeze. And,
Vegas says we're going to have another freeze this year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, the odds are
we're going to have a freeze.
Odds are we're going to, but there's no guarantee.
Yeah. When? It's the timing. So, yeah, you know, I would try to get it pruned back as soon as I could. Likely of losing blooms. But if it is a repeat bloomer, you could still prune it after it blooms that first time, and that new growth will come on and you'll get that flush and they'll bloom on that new growth.
All right, well, let me give you all my address, and when the show's over, you can come over here and help me.
That'll cost you more than you got, Marty.
Go ahead and start without us, and we'll be there.
As long as you had to wait, we probably owe you anyway.
That's right. I'm charging you for my 45 minutes.
Well, shame on us.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
I hope you do, too, Marty. Good luck with those gardenias. Bye-bye. All right, 919-860-9783. We're running out of time quickly. We need to talk to a meteorologist, and Nick Lucati is with us. Nick, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to join us. I know you folks are busy all the time, whether we have a storm or not. But there is a system that I think is pretty much over Cuba. Centered over Cuba right now, and I believe it's a depression at this point. What can you tell us about that system and how it's going to affect us in the coming days?
Yeah, before I talk about that, I just want to mention today, actually.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about today. Are we going to get some thunderstorms?
Yeah, it looks like a pretty active day. We actually have a flash flood watch out starting around noon today through midnight tonight. We are going to get some storms develop in the western Piedmont and spread eastward into the overnight period. And with those, we could have some potentially damaging wind gusts with any of the stronger storms that develop. And there does look like, given how juicy the atmosphere is, a good chance for some isolated to scattered flash flooding, especially in urban areas.
So is that mainly for central North Carolina, all of North Carolina, I guess all of your area?
Yeah, so we specifically at the Raleigh office here cover central North Carolina, but for those further west out in the foothills and mountains, there will be some storms out there as well that move east into the western Piedmont and the Triangle area and then east into the coast overnight. But it looks like mostly central North Carolina, anywhere from the Triad through the coastal plain later today, is kind of in the quote-unquote bullseye for best chances for some flash flooding and perhaps some stronger wind gusts as well.
So this afternoon into the evening?
Yeah, that's the primary time. There could be some additional showers and storms across the western Piedmont later tonight. So the flooding threat is, that's why we extended the flood watch out till midnight tonight. But it looks like it actually is going to blossom here pretty early this afternoon. By like 2 o'clock, we'll start seeing storms develop, in our southwest, the western areas, and it'll push eastward with time here. So make sure all the listeners out there, make sure you have access to and the ability to get our warnings, whether you're following us on social media, have a NOAA weather radio, or if you get a flash flood warning and you have the wireless EAS system activate on your phone, it will set your phone off, and you'll be notified that way. So it does look like a pretty active day today. As far as the tropical system you mentioned, it like you said, it's still hanging out over Cuba. It is expected to, as a depression, which is, you know, gust up to 38 miles an hour in that range. It is expected to move off the northwest tip of Cuba later today, or maybe tonight, and emerge into the Gulf. And I guess conditions are conducive for it to develop likely into a tropical storm, which it would be Debbie is the next name on the list. And then beyond that, there's pretty good agreement that it'll probably make landfall early Monday morning, somewhere in the perhaps Big Bend area of Florida. And then from there, it gets pretty uncertain.
Uh-oh.
In which, you know, and how much that potentially impacts us here in North Carolina. There's some uncertainty beyond that. It does look like the guidance does want to kind of bring it up across Florida and into Georgia, and then some of the guidance stalls it off the South Carolina coast. Some of it brings it up closer to Wilmington's area and stalls it off over there. So there's uncertainty. But I would say for us, overall, middle to late next week, even if the system doesn't particularly come right through us, we will get tropical moisture associated with that storm. And, you know, we'll definitely have at least probably the most impactful thing would be some heavier rain chances into the middle of late next week. Generally, I think the QPF, so far, the forecasted total rainfall is anywhere from probably like 2 to 4 inches, mainly in higher amounts the closer you get to the coast. So they could see closer to 4 to 8 inches, maybe down by Wilmington's area. As far as winds associated with it, again, there's some uncertainty. How much does it emerge into the Atlantic? How much does it strengthen? That kind of stuff. So I would say, like, for most of central North Carolina, you know, it's going to get breezy, maybe some gusts up to 30 knots, but or 30 miles an hour, 35 miles an hour. But the closer you are to the coast, the stronger the wind field is going to be.
Yeah, it's hurricanes, as big as they are affected by systems. I know there's a high pressure. I guess there's a Bermuda high that's out there, and it's kind of people are, I'm sure, are wondering why it's hugging the coast, going all the way up, and many of the models. And I guess it's partly because of that high pressure system. It's kind of making a tunnel, and then systems to the west that are pushing it.
Yeah, so typically we have the Bermuda high out there, as you mentioned, and that tends to help promote these storms getting kicked out to Florida or into the Gulf, Louisiana, Texas. But we do have what's called an upper trough approaching from the west, which you mentioned as well. A lot of times that trough will kind of pull the system to the northeast. And so you got the high out over the Atlantic pumping it to the west, but then the upper system over the, you know, the Ohio Valley, Mid-Atlantic, tends to pull it up northward. The problem is that system that's coming in from the west, the upper trough, it looks like the models have that kind of exiting too fast to the northeast, and so the system gets stuck in this weak steering flow, and that's why the models have it kind of stalling out somewhere. So that might have been too complex, but overall...
No, it was very clear.
Yeah, so like, you know, you're right. Typically they interact with the you know, a trough in the westerlies coming across, but this one, it looks like it might actually kind of pull off a little too early, and then the thing just gets stuck there.
Oh, well, that's not good. That's kind of what Floyd did in the late 90s.
Yeah, I think Florence as well was one that stalled out and just dumped rain. So that is concerning. You know, we're continuing to monitor it. And at the end of the day, you know, like I said, there's uncertainty beyond, you know, it hitting the west coast of Florida, but, you know, we always recommend to the public to, you know, always have your hurricane plan ready, you know. You know, we have resources on our website you can go to. Just, you know, Google search NOAA National Weather Service Hurricane Preparedness or Plan, and you can find the link, and they have a lot of great info on there on how to prepare.
Sure. So. I am surprised that NOAA doesn't have a weather app. The National Weather Service. I'm sure that y'all, a lot of people have discussed that.
So my understanding is that there was some private sector companies that came to an agreement with NOAA in creating us. I guess the law is like we can't technically have an app.
Oh, okay. Well, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah, but yeah, they're legitimate. Like you can look up the bill and like you can, you know, I mean, sorry, not the bill, the law, and there's an actual agreement that was, I think, like 10, 15 years ago.
So what kind of, on your phone, what kind of weather apps and radar? Do you have professional stuff or what do you have? Or do you have time to look at your phone?
It's funny. My dad works in Wilmington and he lives in Bloomington now. He's retired there. He's a boater, and so he's got caught in a storm recently. So I'm sending him some of this information too of some apps I use. But I don't actually use a weather app myself. But as far as radar, one that I would recommend if you really want to get probably the best high resolution data you can get is called RadarScope. I believe it's like a $10 one-time fee, and that's a really great app. I've been using it for well over 10 years. So I would recommend that for a really great radar app.
Excellent. Nick, you've been fabulous. You've done a great job. Thank you so much. Oh, we've had a long, long relationship, 50, 60 years with the National Weather Service on this station. And we love having you guys on and girls. And thank you so much for taking time to give us some information.
Yeah, absolutely. And feel free to call us anytime.
We shall.
Stay safe today.
Have a nice day.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Nick Lucati with Lucchetti with us here on WPTF. Very, very informative. Did you get all that information there, Mr. Secretary?
I did, and I didn't. I wanted him to say something about the mountains, but I can see black clouds right now.
Yeah. Well, he said y'all going to get it too, but I'm looking at trying to look at the radar here if it'll come up. And, yeah. There's some all along kind of a limb, the rim of the mountains there along the North Carolina border, Tennessee border. So you don't have there's storms that are fairly close, you know, between Johnson City and Boone.
Right. Well, the people that talked to you on the radio a while ago, they're going on the New River. And they need to be careful.
That'll be a wild ride. That'll be like riding with Richard Petty around Daytona.
We just got the National Weather Service, and you all be careful with storms on the New River.
Yeah.
he said, keep it away from them.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on to that paddle. Of course, the last time I was on the New River, there wasn't a lot of water in it, and I had to keep getting out of the boat because we'd hit a rock, and I'd have to push the boat along.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a real dry summer. That was, 20 years ago or so, or more than 20 years ago, because my son was probably 3 or 4. He was sitting on the boat with me, wondering why we weren't moving faster.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful river. It's a beautiful river, and I know you that you – didn't create it, but you had a lot to do with preserving it.
Yep, that's one of the things that I think about my legacy. I'd like for people to remember that when they wanted to flood it all over and make a dam. And that's a wild, it's the world's
oldest.
Oldest river in the
second
world.
Second oldest, yeah.
And it's one of the very few that flows from south to north.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the headwaters, by the way, start over near Blowing Rock.
I didn't realize that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you still sitting out on the porch?
I am. The crowd is finally leaving. I think they're headed toward Ashe County for the New River Adventure.
Or I thought they were going for the cheese curds.
Oh, well, they can get them there.
Ashe County.
That's right. Well, maybe they have some cheese curds somewhere around Boone that you can find.
Today. Well, they have them at the farmer's market, I can tell you that, because I get them regularly.
That's right. They certainly do. So you've been having some trouble off and on with your tomatoes. How's everything else looking at the Edmondson Estate?
Well, the flowers are doing just beautiful. And Monica was talking about that beautiful, beautiful hibiscus. I have one that's variegated leaves, and that bright red bloom is just gorgeous, just gorgeous. And the impatience, the sun patience, that have been just incredible. That's a planting that everybody should have some of. They do well in the sun. Because that's why they're called sun patients. And then all kinds of coleus. Oh my goodness, goodness.
I don't. You probably didn't see. You don't use Facebook, Rufus, but I put a photo on there, and the caption was: "The Weekend Gardener is always concerned about beetles in the hardy hibiscus and hollyhocks." And the photo I used is a photo of the beetles, BEATLES, standing in. I mean, all amongst hibiscus and hollyhocks, and they're kind of peeping through. They're peeping through. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, it's really, I just love this photograph.
Well, it's amazing how the beetles and bugs will eat up the leaves.
Yeah.
But you can still get a bloom.
I know. It is amazing.
They leave the bloom.
And a friend of mine was asking me about Japanese beetles on her figs. And, but they might eat the leaves, but there are fig beetles. Have you run across any fig beetles?
Fig beetles. I know kudzu bugs are good on the figs early on, but they don't usually bother them that bad.
Yeah. Nelsa says that she uses a pyrethrin product from Bonide that is made from daisy leaves. That is organic and
chrysanthemum,
non-toxic,
yeah.
And it's chrysanthemum. And
I want to ask this question. Speaking of figs, we had a caller last week or the week before that said that their figs hadn't grown any.
Well,
usually mine are over with and done by now, and I've noticed that they've not gotten a bit bigger than the end of my thumb. Now that's never occurred before, and those big bushes are over 100 years old, Johnny, and I just can't figure it out.
I think
it was the drought.
So dry early. A lot of plants especially the fig, they love, although they're, Mediterranean descent probably in that area, they do like their water when they start producing fruit. So, yeah, they'll probably be a little bit later, but we still have enough time for them to still mature. And we've got, good rain last week, of course, and looks like some more this week. I guess week before last. Now
we will definitely get some rain next week.
Yeah. Looks like we're in for some more. So they should still mature. The biggest problem we have with our figs is the birds. The birds like to come and peck them, and they'll mess them up, and then they'll go to another one and mess it up, and so that's a big problem for
us. There's a fig beetle. It looks like a Japanese beetle.
It looks
like
a June beetle.
It's kind of maybe it is a June bug or in between. I don't know.
And they probably will get on the figs, because I have seen those on succulent fruit. They get on the actual fruit.
June bugs.
June bugs will get on the fruit and eat them once a bird comes and sort of opens it up for them. They'll definitely get on there. But that's probably, Rufus, probably just a water issue, and that I think you still have plenty of time to get a crop. I know in the northeastern part of North Carolina, my mother-in-law used to get two crops of figs up in the Elizabeth City area. She lived right outside of Elizabeth City, and they get two crops every year.
What variety?
Brown turkey.
I have one that I get not as much, but in the very beginning, it happens in June, and they would be almost the size of a baseball, and then the next crop comes along, which hasn't occurred now, but the end of July, and so that is possible. Mine are not brown turkey. Mine are
Celeste.
Celeste.
Yeah, that's the two most popular.
And I saw something the other day that I'll never forget. I saw a blue jay run a squirrel away that was eating on one of my figs, and I gave high praise to that blue jay.
I love blue jays. They're cantankerous.
Yeah, yeah, they big enough to be that.
They are big, and you know, I like them. I love to watch the birds, but and the sound that the blue jay makes, it's very distinct.
Okay.
They make it known when they are in the area.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you see them perched on a feeder, they might eat a tidbit and then look around and say, "Come on, bring it on."
Yeah.
Who's going to chase me away?
I'm Muhammad Ali. Come on.
Come on. Yeah. So what else? I guess there are, you know, summer is going by so quickly.
It is summer. Yeah, August is here and September will be upon us. And speaking of August being gone, I'll just put a plug in for the great Southeast Pollinator Census coming up August 23rd and 24th. I know Amanda will be talking about this when she's on. I think you said she's on the 24th, but she's
going to be on the 24th and the 31st because, Rufus, yeah. We're going the 31st. We are going to Sanford again.
Oh, goody. I'll have to get up at 5 o'clock.
Well, you can sleep in the car. Phil's going with us, too.
Yeah, great.
So we'll have Phil and Amanda and Rufus and me at the farmer's market there across from Yarborough's in Sanford. And have a flea market, farmer's market, flea market type thing there. It'll be a lot of fun. We had a great time earlier this year. We did it in May. Hadn't been that long ago. So that they had us over. So we're going again. So get ready for that, Rufus. Get you some sleep.
Well, by the way, next Saturday I'll be on remote again because I'll be at the North Carolina County Commissioners Association in Winston-Salem, and we'll probably find a couple of those commissioners that are gardeners too.
Well, I hope so.
For. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you can be on with us from there is also great because we always miss you when you aren't here. Golly, we're running out of time quickly. Rufus, anything else that you'd like to leave with us?
No, just be the person your dog thinks you are.
You don't have your Cliff Joyner book?
I didn't bring my Cliff Joyner book this time. I forgot it.
Well, I don't have one with me. Dadgummit. Yeah. I think I gave mine away. They're so that's a valuable commodity. We're gonna have to ask Cliff for more of them for 2025 because that'll be the Weekend Gardener's 40th anniversary in 2025.
Wow! Yeah.
And coming up on your 40th year with the show,
my 40th year with the show, and my 50th year with WPTF
station.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's right. Hall of Fame winner. You mentioned Tom Campbell. Well, you were talking to another one, Mike Raley.
I still can't believe it. I cherish it every day. And Hot Dog George just popped up. And George, you waited too late. Dadgummit. we got to go.
I need 10 seconds, Mike.
Go.
The name of that fig that's in the backyard of the roast grill that's 120 years old, the fig tree, is the Olympian.
Olympian.
This is the season of the Olympics.
George, that's all the time we got. We love you, buddy. Bye. Good luck, everybody. We'll see you next week.